All right, we're live. All right, thank you.
Yeah, you didn't pay for that crap.
All right, welcome. Today's June 5th. We're going to go ahead and start the Harbor Advisory Board meeting. We're here in the Morro Bay Vet Center. It's June 5th, monthly meeting. We'll go ahead and establish a quorum and call to order. I'll go down the line here. Member Doughty?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Here.
Member Hanson?
Here.
Member Green?
Here.
Member Witowski?
Here.
Member Myers? We have a quorum. With that, we'll go and have a moment of silence. All right, I'll go ahead and move the flag behind us. We'll do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, we'll do the board member liaison announcements. I'm excited to let you go first, Mr. Doughty. I want to hear about the salmon season and the crazy weekend we're going to expect.
Good evening. Looks like it'll be a two-day salmon season starting Saturday and Sunday. Everybody's all hyped up about it. I don't know how many salmon they're going to be, but there'll be a lot of people out there flying for them. But there's been some bait in the bay. There's been a few halibut caught that I know of. Besides that, summer's here, so enjoy it.
All right, thank you. Member O'Brien?
Yeah, thanks, Kel. So this last week, on the 31st, the wife had, Lost at Sea ceremony was in Cayucas, the Morro Bay Fishermen helped to sponsor, as well as the Lions Club and many other groups. Locally, it was the 23rd Lost at Sea ceremony on Memorial Day. And we also get to go to the Honors Award for the high school, and the fishermen give out two scholarships to that, and this year we did that, and as well as two scholarships for Michelle Leary scholarship that the family of Michelle Leary, a fisherman, gives out every year. That's about it.
All right, thank you. Go to my right here, Member Hanson.
Not too many announcements as far as things going on, except for that I know it's going to be a busy summer this year. I do want to mention that the RFP, Request for Proposals, came out for Coleman Park, so that does affect the harbor. I do know that around 4 years ago, they did a lot of workshop work and came up with a plan based on the input from that. And I do want to ask, I know that we have a grant for Coleman Park renovations. Is there a timeline for that? Because I think that it needs to go into effect sooner than later in order to get the grant. So if anybody has an answer to that. But the RFP went out, and hopefully we'll have bathrooms at Coleman Park again.
All right. Thank you, Member Hanson. We'll pick that up in the department update. We'll get her a question in during the department director update. I'll try not to forget. All right, Member Green, thank you.
Nothing to report other than Cal Poly graduations. It's normal about eight or 9 days away from now, and that's sort of the official kickoff of summer around here, it seems like. That's it.
All right, thank you. Member Witowski?
Yep, not much. Hopefully a busy weekend with the salmon season and then the marine swap meet, which I'm sure you'll share more details of in a second.
All right, thank you. So, swap meet is one of the things we're looking forward to. Just had some planning sessions earlier today about that, getting all last-minute details. So, that and the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department did participate in the Safe Boating Day. We actually got a couple generous donations during that time. There was a lot of other things going on that same weekend with the, I think it was the Girls Water Polo Club and some sort of pirate kid parade. That was pretty cool to see all the kids go by. I think that's it for my announcements. With that, we would like to introduce Jeff. Okay, hopefully. John. Oh, God. I'm not even going to try your last name then. So, yeah, he's going to do a presentation about the Morro Bay. What's that? John, if you'd like to come up.
All right, name's John Weimer. Can everyone hear me? Name's John Weimer. I'm currently the Vice Commodore of Morro Bay Yacht Club. We support a lot of events here in Morro Bay. And it just came to my attention that Cal Poly has the largest sailing fleet of all colleges in the United States. They have the largest number of members, which was kind of news to us, but it's great for Cal Poly, great for us in that we support them, and we'd like to see how we could get more space to support them further, and funding for them. They're a completely unfunded club at the university. The other things we do, we teach juniors, not just of members, but of the community, young sailors. We encourage anyone who's interested in sailing to come out. We even have scholarships for those that can't afford it. We teach adults how to sail, members and non-members, and we sponsor some American Sailing Association courses. Those are courses that that teach individuals, adults in this case, and certify them so they get a certificate that enables them to move up through the ranks so they'd be able to charter boats in other countries and around our country. It's a stepping stone. We're the only ASA course offered between Santa Barbara and Santa Cruz. So having that locally means people can start that process before having to go out of the area. We have a dock that's used for transients. That's both transients locally, transients coming up and down the coast. We had somebody in from Alaska just yesterday. We provide dock space and a pump out station. Very critical, where there are two pump outs in the harbor, and we're one of them. When one goes down, meaning down at the park, everyone shows up at our dock. We sponsor judging for the Lighted Boat Parade. We have the Witch's Paddle end up at our dock every year. What else do we do? Coast Guard uses our facility. The Harbor Department uses our facility. So we're really strongly integrated with the waterfront and with the boating community. It's not just sailing. It's power boating. It's stand-up paddle boarding. It's kayaking. We're part of the Clean Marine. So we try to do our part to, one, promote use of the bay and support education of the use of the bay and of boating, safe boating. Any questions for us? I've submitted a little cheat sheet that
sure
helps explain things.
For any individual that happens to be listening in on this, if they want to get more information about the youth sailing or the Morro Bay Yacht Club in general, how would they go about that?
The best thing is to go to the Morro Bay Yacht Club website, which is mbyc.net. That will be a good starting point. I can always call a club. We have an answering machine, so it's a little archaic. But we post outside of the club also some phone numbers for getting in touch with sailing instruction.
And that would include both youth sailing and any adult programs?
Everything.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I appreciate it.
The website's the best resource, as is most things these days.
Yeah. I don't know if there's any other questions for John? Oh, I appreciate you coming out. Happy anniversary. And
Yeah, thanks. I forgot it's my anniversary today, so I'm going to leave very soon.
All right. Well, you can stop by and get a card on the way to on the way back home. Yeah. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks, John.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we will open it up to a public comment. If there's anybody here in the audience that would like to make a comment, please do.
Good morning, Chair and board members. Two things. I wanted to thank the Harbor Department. I had the opportunity to visit the dredger this morning and take a tour of it. I did that about 10 years ago, and it's still the same boat. It's 46 years old, and it's still doing the job that we hired it to. It will be leaving tomorrow morning for your clarifications, but that was an enjoyable experience. I want to thank you, Chris, very much. Also, as a member of the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, we're putting together our third boating resource guide. I use Paul Irving, and he designs the ads and puts the information in there. So if anyone has any additions or subtractions from last 2 years, please get a hold of myself, and we'll direct you to Paul, and we'll have probably this together within the next 2 months. So it's a free boating resource guide with everything on the harbor, you know, from boat haul outs and engineers and electricians and so forth and so on. So, and that's the last thing. So thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Mr. LeFay. Anybody else in the audience would care to do public comment? I don't see any raised hands. AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised on the phone line?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you. Appreciate that. With that, we'll move on to the consent calendar. I would like to pull A4 to allow the director to comment about light poles. There may be some other questions on that, so I'd like to pull A4. Anybody want to pull anything else off of there? It's mostly, it's just the other meeting minutes. All right. I'd like to go ahead and make a motion to pull A4, but approve A1 through A3. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right. With that, it goes 6-0, Lori. And with that, Director Munson, if you want to talk about the light poles.
Thank you, Chair Myers and board members. So we had a bit of success when we were reaching out to PG&E. I didn't get much response in the beginning as far as looking at the replacement for the light posts and the luminaires on the Embarcadero, but they were going through some transition and getting a new representative, and once that representative did get on board, they said, yeah, it looks like we can replace all of the light fixtures on the Embarcadero and surrounding areas. And it will also extend it over into, you can see in that map, that which is in your packet, there's in the Cloisters area, there's some down there as well. And they even go out to the Rock and just continue on down the Embarcadero. And so as part of that, they don't offer us an unlimited amount of choices. There are only a few choices that they have there. The two that they were recommending as the most in-kind are the ones at the top, or the first two options there. Those are the LED equivalent of the incandescent ones that we have. The teardrop one that you see on the right, those are out at the Rock. There's only about five of them. But then they also gave us a few other options. And if you're able to scroll to the right a little bit, it will show you the other options. So we can either go with what we have right now, or for the ones on the Embarcadero, or we can look at something on the right. And so this decision is going to the Planning Commission on the 17th, I believe. I wanted to give the Harbor Advisory Board the opportunity to weigh in, and I can give your recommendation as part of that item. And so some things that we want to take into account with these lights is, for example, that one with the green base, you're going to get some lighting off the top of that as well as with the second one. And so there is some sensitivity as far as dark sky initiatives and creating light pollution with those. So then you have the other ones that are reflecting the light down. The one thing that's nice about that last option, it's almost the same as the ones we have right now, but you can include panes. And so the problem with panes is that they do yellow over time. They can be replaced, but they will diffuse the light a bit more than the one that they're having as the preferred option. That one doesn't have any panes, so you'll just be looking right into the LED with those ones. And so those are the options, and I'll let you guys discuss if there's any preferred option or if there's multiple options that you like, or if there's ones that you really don't like and want them not to choose. We'd like to hear your feedback.
Anybody have questions?
Do you have an image of one that's in up there now?
Oh, I don't have it as part of this. There is one. It is. They are shown in the package. I can. Yeah, and they're kind of. There are two slightly different variants. If you look at those first two pictures, one has kind of an overhang. And also with that final option shown there, they also have different tops that can go on them that will look almost exactly the way that our current ones do. But I'm not against going with a different design. One of the other options, just if we're looking at, not shocking the system, a similar design, you can't, there's less likelihood that somebody's gonna dislike it.
Do these all have the same expected lifespan?
That I don't know about. I do know that they're all, I looked into the specs of them. They're all, most of them are aluminum. One of the concerns I've heard about, I know that this has nothing to do with longevity, but, as far as we've had comments about the lights in along the Embarcadero not being bright enough, and so there is the opportunity to increase the wattage, which will increase the brightness, but we can also still preserve the warmer Kelvin rating, which will be more of a yellow tone rather than the kind of bright white bluish light that you see sometimes. So those are some options that we will have. As far as longevity, the LEDs will last longer than the incandescents, but I don't know how much longer the fixtures will last. They are usually powder coated.
All right, thank you, Member Wilkowski. Member Green, do you have another question? I know you were speaking. Member Hansen is anxious.
I have a question on the colored to match map. I just don't see. Is there a way for us to know on the pictures of the different lamps, which one's S4H200 and?
I think, so really the only ones that are a different style are the ones out by Morro Rock, and I think my eyes are getting bad, but it looks like there's only six of them out at the Rock. All of the rest of them are what are they called, the Salem style.
And so that's the SH70?
Yeah. So. And I think that those are just how they've grouped them. I don't think that there's much of it might be, I think it's just how they've grouped them. I don't think that there's any bearing on what style they are, other than which column they're in.
Okay. And then I know that you mentioned about how the light is emit from around the sides. I know that Coastal has issues with that. Like, it all has to be angled at a 90 degree down for the light. Even though they gave us the other options that you mentioned, the first two on other possible sites, are they really possibilities, or are they Coastal approved is what I'm getting at?
That's something that I will look into more. I just found, I know that the final one is night sky compliant, or if that's the right terminology. But they should all have those certain ratings, and I'll have to get the individual cut sheets. Unfortunately, I have to They haven't already supplied those to me. I kind of have to do a reverse Google search to find out what exact model they are and pull up all that information. But we can definitely look into that and make sure, verify that.
Okay, and then you said that you can get a little cap on all of them.
I know at least the last two you can get decorative caps.
Yeah, my only concern is creating more areas for birds to, seagulls specifically,
yeah.
to hang out. And then you said that you could do the soft light instead of the bright white.
Yes.
And I don't know what that's called, but yeah, that would be my recommendation. But anyway, more questions?
I know, I think Member O'Brien.
Yeah, I was just wondering what the difference in the cost between the LED and the traditional bulb.
To be honest, I don't know off the top of my head. We could get those numbers because they did do quite a few studies, I know, in San Luis Obispo County. And I might even be able to pull a report from my old job. I know that they did an electricity audit where they compared the two. So I can find out those. But the good thing with this, with changing these out, is that there will be a savings, and we will be, once they're installed, we'll be receiving that immediately. So sometimes with other programs, what PG&E will do is they'll front you the LEDs, but then you end up having to pay for them, continuing on your rate until they're paid off. Since these were PG&E owned light posts, they're going to pay for it entirely, and so we'll start reaping the rewards of the savings immediately. We won't have to wait for them to be paid off. Where we are also looking at, it's a different department, but we're also looking at replacing the poles. There's a local program with PG&E that will do that as well. And so hopefully at the end of the day, we'll have both the new poles and the new light tops.
Gene, go ahead.
Yeah, just a couple questions. On those six that are out by the rock there, or the five, I'd want to make sure that there are lights are shining down, because when you're coming in at night from the, out in the ocean there, you really don't want any glaring lights. It's hard enough as is. And you want to make sure that they are corrosion resistant as much as possible.
Good point.
All right, thank you. Any other questions on that particular topic? We had one other question from the announcements about the Coleman Park funding that Member Hansen was asking about.
Are we going to finish this one?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Are we voting or what?
No, this is just.
Oh, I did. If you do have a preference over one of the designs,
okay,
or
okay.
other than the others, like I'd like okay. to hear it so I can pass it on.
Thank you for that.
Okay, you're welcome.
I guess with that. Is there a preferred option that they have would like to see?
I don't love the Salem style with or without the panes, the yellowing panes. I don't love in the space for the birds. I don't love on the Salem style. I kind of err on the side of the pendant style, in part because I like the pole and the whole the mounting system as well. If that's part is staying, my second choice is probably that. That gray-colored middle one in the second tier, simply because gray blends into the background more than draws attention to itself like the black sometimes does. That's my two cents.
My two cents would probably be the middle one as well, as long as it could have a fixture on top that deters birds. And that we put in a request to have a softer yellow light hue, still on the bright high spectrum. Maybe I'm saying that wrong. On the lower spectrum, but on the higher wattage. Right. Right. So those would be my requests.
So in the graphic, that's the white one in the middle that you're talking about?
Correct.
Okay.
Gray with the white, as long as they can make it a bird deterrent and with a soft,
yeah,
bright
light.
All right,
Gene, do you have a preference?
You know, without seeing these and putting my hands on them and looking at them, I would go with what Gene said and pick the one that's the most resistant to the elements here. If you pick the wrong one, you might be replacing that next year. You know, it's the most, I don't give a darn what it looks like, as long as it throws light, but you want it to be as resistant as possible.
PG&E, any of these ones that we pick here today have no financial implications to the city, right?
Correct. We wouldn't have to pay anything for any of them.
Given the choices. I unfortunately like the one that's least coastal friendly because I like the green one with the big pendant on it, of course. I think given the constraints of the lighting, again, the design of the middle one seems to be the cleanest, but it would need a different hat on it to make it not a nesting site. Right now it just looks like it'd collect three seagulls.
If we can get them to be white, then they won't show all the bird poop on them.
That's why I have a brown car. So I think the consensus is, I don't remember the model name, but that white one in the middle of the report seems to be the one that we most favor.
Okay, I'll pass on that recommendation. Thank you.
Okay.
I had another item on A4.
Okay, go ahead. As well.
So I was looking at the Harbor Patrol statistics that are up there every month, and there's calls for service, emergency responses, et cetera. Is there any kind of reimbursement system or interfund transfers that in some way compensate the Harbor Fund for any kinds of calls for service as other public safety divisions may be allowed?
No, we don't have any sort of reimbursement. I know from my previous job, the kind of thought was is that sometimes one agency will help another, and then it kind of evens out over time. That you're all in it together. That's kind of.
Is there ever a situation where there's reimbursement from the members of the public?
For example, with towing, now we charge for towing. So yes, we've tried to recuperate those costs because, if somebody there's, I know at my last job, there were some people who were repeat offenders, and so it was kind of more of a deterrent for that you can't just go out there with a boat that's not in good repair and just rely on the Harbor Patrol to tow you back in. And so there is some recovery in that regard.
Cool. Thank you. That's all I had.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. Chris, you still want to discuss the Pullman Park stuff that you were bringing up earlier?
Oh, yes. Might you know, Chris, if there's a timeline associated with the grant money that was for the Coleman Park renovations?
Lori came across some of the information with that. Were you able to find any definitive deadlines?
I pulled up a couple contracts, but I'm not, I'm not part of the RFP process, but one of them looks like grant performance period is July 1, 22 through July 30, 28. I think there's two grants here. And then there's another one. So I don't know. I'm just looking at the RFP online.
It appears we have a council member in the audience that might have an answer.
Yeah, and then I have a contract period for another one from July 2018 to June 30, 2048.
Council Member LaFay, would you mind coming up to the podium?
Yeah, I actually talked to Greg Kwolek on this project, and as looking at the RFP, this has been one of my pet projects for a long years. I've looked at the Coleman Park improvement for the last 15 years. And there's one thing that I do want in there, and I was so this project right here, there is, I think, $800,000 in grant money. We're going to do it in two phases, and as Greg promised me today, one will be the bathroom only, and that's going to go in for phase one, and I'm hoping to get that in there by next summer, you know, realistically. All the other improvements and stuff will, I think, be done therefore after. So now we have to get a coastal permit too for this, so unfortunately it's a new construction, but it is going to happen, and I'm working with Greg on it diligently to make sure that it does. So if you have any questions, you can ask me.
Thank you, Bill. Any other questions, Therese?
I don't think we got it answered, but it's okay.
All right, understood. All right, with that,
we'll... Just to add to that, I can, in my director updates, I can include a Coleman Park update going forward, just so that you, it sounds like that's an item of interest for everyone, so
yeah.
I can at least give you what yeah. comes out of that.
We appreciate that. It's kind of been an open item for several years now, and I have. Right.
And yes, I think that all of us here would like to see, get updates on that, especially with the RFP and who responds, and if we can even look at some of the proposals, not judge them, but just be a part of the conversation would be great.
All right, thank you. With that, we'll go ahead and close out item A4. I don't think we have to vote on that or anything, do we? Mm-hmm. Oh. All right, somebody here. Therese, you can make the motion this time. Accept A4.
I make the motion to accept A4, receive and file.
All right, I'll second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. All right, 6-0. All right, with that, we'll move on to item B1. This is the ad hoc committee about the non-brick and mortar business in the Tidelands area. I think Therese, you're, I don't know if you're, which, Therese or Jean? Oh, was it Jeremiah? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Do you want to chat?
Do you guys want to give?
You know, I don't.
Okay, I'll just. Okay, I'll kick it off. Okay, so Jeremiah O'Brien and myself are on the committee for the license agreement program. We have been spending our time reviewing different locations that are similar to ourselves with similar scenarios as far as transient businesses moving along the waterfront and trying to see what kind of policies that those places have. So we're still reviewing those and still gathering information. I know that I have done a lot of outreach to a lot of stakeholders in this situation and have had quite a bit of feedback and then extra feedback that wasn't even about license agreement items, but about transient businesses on the Embarcadero that take away from local businesses that are brick and mortar on both sides of the street. So it is a real big concern for a lot of the businesses that exist 24 hours every single day and are actually required to be open at least 6 days a week, at least 6 hours a day, and always have to pay a rent. So I do think that they're going to be vocal about any new operators coming into the area. Among them, the main theme that I've received is concern about food trucks. And but they were also amenable to the food trucks actually being from brick and mortar businesses that are already located either in Tidelands or in the city of Morro Bay. They were more amenable to that than a newcomer coming into, and so that's a possibility. But everybody did seem pretty excited about non-competing businesses, specifically activities, things that bring a different addition into the area. The majority of the stakeholders were pro on that. So I'll continue to ask around and get people's input before we make any policy recommendations.
Thanks, Jeff, for starting that over, Charisse, starting it up, I mean. So I did what I thought was necessary to get a general idea of how the trucks would work, and drove the Embarcadero and looked at other areas. There's a lot of information here that it's very difficult to answer right now. I mean, when I say that, one person could not answer the question because it's, so just to give you an idea here, what type of truck are we talking about? You know, so you have to decide, are you going to, we're talking about food trucks, popcorn wagons, guys are going to sell hot dogs, but you can't sell tacos. I mean, so you have to know what you were going to allow and what not allow. And so description of business to be licensed, waste management plans and so forth. And they're all, you can find them all online incorporated into this is a whole permit application. It's general, not from any particular area. But I did talk to one of our very busy restaurants, one of our busiest, and to get their opinion or ideas. And it was what I thought it was going to be. And he was very fair in saying that what the concern was going to be up and down the waterfront was fairness. And it's a word that we should be concerned about, too, and we think about it, is so a brick-and-mortar place pays rent and pays often a percentage kickback to the city. Will these guys be doing the same? How much can we charge for a permit to make a restaurant owner feel that it's fair? But, and so not talking against or anything, I think that we shouldn't have a food truck anywhere between Coleman and the launch ramp. Because everything in between is, we've got food service places that are paying a lot of money. We want those people to survive and do well. But anyways, that's, yeah.
I did talk to one Embarcadero master lease holder, and it brought up a new situation. It's not necessarily a rabbit hole, but it is another aspect of being fair. They have been told that they can't have like a popcorn machine out or a cotton candy machine. They've been told that they can't have it outside, but you know, people on the other side of the street that have private property, because they have a business license, they could do whatever they want. I'm getting a lot more input from other things that are not fair because you're on tidelands, that you're restricted even more so than other private property owners that are, you know, a crosswalk away. So anyway, we just really want to look at all of the fair equivalents, and so maybe we could even see small-sized business licenses on Tideland's property and get revenue from that.
All right, thank you. Any other member?
Yeah, I want to thank you both for your hard work so far. It's hard to revitalize something when 95 or 98% of the answers that you get are no. And so your challenge and all of our challenges is to build excitement for things and then figure out the fairness and the logistics and those kinds of things. So bravo to the legwork so far. We want to get some of those no's into the yes territory.
All right, any other comments or questions?
Yeah.
Oh, genius.
Yes, for over 40 years, I've been opposed to any vendors, food trucks, out at the Morroway Rock parking lot. It's a fairly pristine area there. It's not a commercial zone. People bring their trash, and they take it away from them. I I'm aware of several groups of people every morning who pick up trash along the beach there in the parking lot. It's not a commercial zone. Just leave it the way it is in natural. I just completely oppose any vendors out there at the Rock.
All right, thank you, Member Dowdy. Any other questions, comments? All right, we'll look forward to the update, public comment. Okay, we'd like to open up business item B1 to public comment. Is there anybody in the audience that'd like to comment?
Well, we do have Zoom.
Yes. AGP, is there any raised hands on the Zoom call?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you very much. With that, we'll go ahead and close item B1. We'll open up item B2. This one was kind of interesting. We were putting together the agenda. It sort of the genesis was the Safe Boating Day. During that particular day, we had three other events going on in the city. So the original thought was, is there a way to coordinate these events to, you know, maybe get synergy for two or three of them, or should they be spread out? You know, to have a draw every weekend or every day for events. The conversation got pretty animated during putting this together because we wanted to limit it to single day events to get out of the T-bid, hotelers, beds and heads discussion and really focus on single day events. So not to get into the politics of the T-bid piece of it. So that's kind of what this would be a new ad hoc for that. Again, just single day events and coordination and looking into that a little bit further. Director Munson, do you have any other comments on that? I think hopefully I hit it all.
I think you covered it pretty well.
Yeah. I remember the conversation vividly. We had some interesting conversations about it. So that's kind of where we're at. Member Green, you and I have talked about this one-on-one a few times in different contexts over the years. I don't know if any thoughts about it.
Is this about coordination and management, or is this about coming up like what is Giovanni's Market an example of something like this? What are some examples of these events?
So an example would be like Chair Myers was talking about. So at the beginning of May, was it May or April? We had about four events all lumped in. We had the yacht club opening. We had the boating safety day. We had the mermaids, pirates, and sea creatures event. We had the blessing of the fleet, and I believe there was also the kite festival, but that's not really a harbor festival. And what we thought was that it might be better to group some of these events together, create more of not a harbor day, but something that would be a draw. And then there's also going to be sometimes when you don't want to combine too many events, because then you're creating traffic and taking away from businesses. So this was just an attempt to try and better manage that, to figure out what events might make sense working together, how we're going to advertise for that. If in the past we had the Harbor Festival and that's kind of gone away, is there something that we want to do along those lines or not? Just kind of getting more excitement about the harbor and having more of an organization between businesses, sponsorships, groups to try and get everybody more on the same page, if that makes sense.
That's sort of the first swing at the vitality element of it and taking a small bite out of it with just a single day event.
It seems like a good start. It's unclear exactly where we go, but at least it's a liaison body of some kind to pull some of these people together. I'd be happy to serve on that.
Any other questions, Jean or Jeremiah?
So as far as scope of work for this, just knowing what I've already encountered with the RFP with Coleman and all my conversations with leaseholders, and I have noticed that there are, I don't know if there's any requirement within the city, but when people do get day permits, it's almost like they all get it on Memorial Weekend, all get it on July 4th, and it takes away parking. And so as far as scope of work, it would be nice to have some kind of synergy with the Parks and Rec that gives, or the building, whoever gives out the permits, so they know just how many permits are going out for that day, and that they don't constrict flow, cause parking issues, all of those things. If you did, and if you put this together, I would just request that that be part of the scope of work of trying to find a way to delineate where the, how many events can happen throughout the city, and look into, you know, parking and placement of and the quantity of these
capacity.
Yeah. Type
of, you know, city can only handle 10,000 visitors or whatever that number is.
Yeah, and again, with the mass with the property owners, subleases, all the different business owners, they are really upset by the fact that a lot of transient things are happening on only the big weekends, and that always is such a bummer if you go all through winter and you finally get to Memorial Day and they're all buying things at a little vendor there for one day. So we just want to be supportive of the people who are paying, keeping the lights on all year round.
All right, that's really good input. I appreciate that. I wouldn't, is there anybody else? I don't know, I'm interested, but I also want to make sure that anybody else has a chance to participate.
I have a comment, I guess I would
all
say.
Right, go ahead.
I just want to caution that this doesn't become motivation only with stick and not carrot. If we're trying to revitalize and draw new business, we have to make sure that it's not just permitting away everything, every opportunity to have these events and these, yeah. Just want to make sure that's understood as well.
Are you looking to volunteer or is there just input?
Sorry? Do you want to volunteer or just input?
I wanted to make that comment at this point.
I will say that the Avocado Margarita Festival, the Chamber went through a lot of this situation year after year trying to figure out the right way to benefit the entire community of Morro Bay and support the local businesses as well as bring new people in. So there is a fine line, and it is possible. It's totally 100% possible. So I do believe that if the standards are there and the policies are there, it will happen, and it will happen to the betterment of the entire community.
Yeah, so my original thought when I was putting this together was not looking at necessarily specific events, although you have to have concrete examples, but to, you know, lay out a timeline that, you know, week number 13, 17, you know, 23 are generally, you know, free weekends, or, you know, ones like not 4th of July, not Memorial weekends, and those would be the preferred dates for these sort of smaller one-day events. And so I was looking at it through that lens, at least initially, and then, you know, trying to overlay that with, you know, the last year or two of type of events. That was kind of what I was thinking about after our discussion.
Yeah, it makes total sense, and we did a lot of this work on TBID. I know this is not necessarily like huge events that we're talking about, but we did a really nice job pushing a lot of these types of events into September, early October, outside of the summer, and move the needle a little bit. We had some growth in January and February a little bit as well. I think it also goes back to things like Ironman coordination and, you know, departments maybe not knowing who's doing what at any given time. So there's some coordination there. But yeah, I think it's coordination.
Right on. All right. Any other questions or comments on that one? This one goes to public comment as well before we circle back. All right. Anybody in the audience have any input they'd like to provide about the new ad hoc for single day events? No? All right, with that, AGP, is there any hands raised in the queue?
Hi, Chair Byers, there are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, with that, we'll bring it back to the committee. I feel so weird formal. with that, I think there was at least two of us here that would want to participate. That's the size of it. I'll open it up to see if there's any other questions or comments.
Nope, I'll make a motion that the two of you are on this new committee.
All right, do you need it more formal, or is that all right, Lori? All right, well.
Need a second.
Oh, she made a motion to nominate myself and Sean for this new ad hoc.
Oh.
Do you want to second it?
Yes.
All right, second it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, 6-0. That closes business item B2. Next one up, again, one of my, we're going to talk about future agenda items. One of the things that I've been pushing for the last 2 years, and some of that's just in some of the organizational changes on the staff side, is to allow the members to be more engaged in the ad hocs is the way to do that. We've had a number of them on here. If there are any that we'd like to bring back, remember we're off for July, so for in the August time frame, if there are any specific ones that any of the members are interested in, I would like to go ahead and bring those forward. We've got a couple of them. We talked about the update plan. The director said he would put that in there going forward. There's a couple others. We kind of made a stab at the economic vitality here with the one we just had on B2. I don't know if there's anything others here that people are interested in, would like to see an ad hoc. Go ahead.
And we're talking about this line. Review and prioritize. Well, we're looking at this line.
I may have a wrong old copy, but I think the goals are the same.
Where did I just do this? One?
Too many pages here.
Pending items. Yeah, no, so it's item C1, right? So it's all these items. I would like to suggest that you have a standing committee report that Jean give an update for the Waterfront Master Plan. We had our first meeting today, and Jean, as your spokesperson, should give you updates every Harbor Agenda Board meeting.
Gene, I assume you're cool with that. So in August, you'll actually have some content to provide.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to love me.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. All right. So that's all in favor of adding that as agenda item, which is the Waterfront Master Plan update as a standing agenda item going forward.
I would go through the list.
Okay. We have to.
Right. Make it all at one time.
Gotcha. Understand. Okay, the Waterfront Master Plan is one. Thank you, Lori. Anybody else have any ideas of things they'd like to see as an ad hoc or other future agenda items?
I think Charisse's stressing of Coleman Park, I just want to reiterate that. I could very easily see sort of us not participating in Coleman Park. And one opportunity that this board or a group may have as part of the Coleman Park is... in looking at the draft plans over the last 4 or 5 years and knowing the different, I don't know if I want to say kind of special interest components to with different cultural features, that there's probably going to have to be a parsing out of those features that represent different interested parties and groups, and I could imagine that being overburdening staff when it comes to that level, that maybe there's a committee of some sort that may emerge related to Coleman Park and maybe even more specifically to features or groups, decision making or management, because that could get a little tricky at some point.
It's interesting because I think the next step, according to what we heard earlier today, that's going over to the Planning Commission next.
Mm-hmm. For the RFP.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I guess we'll get an update in August and take it from there.
Yeah.
Okay. Charisse?
I guess I did go out of order, but I will mention that the CFAC, we might want to remove that just because the CFAC Joint Ad Hoc Committee, they have done their work, and it's going up to council on June 17th. As far as vitality and resource revenue generating concepts. So that ship might have sailed already. but anybody on this board who wants to take a look at it and speak your mind on June 17th, the group that was put together on the CFAC to find revenue generating ideas had a lot of ideas, and they're based mostly around a lot of it is based around tidelands, and at least almost all of it is in the waterfront master plan jurisdiction. So I don't think we need it as a future agenda item because we're going to get passed up as far as that goes. But anyway, it's something that has been submitted.
Mm-hmm. So you want to strike that from the future agenda items?
We can. I think that we can. And I wouldn't pull it. My suggestion is to strike that one just because it doesn't have a spot in it anymore. But we can. The other ones, I feel like we can keep all of those for future agenda items. Oh wait, didn't we already examine commercial slip fees too? Or no? No. Okay. So anyway, that's the only one that I would pull waterfront master plan and CFAC joint and just make waterfront master plan an agenda item as an update and remove the CFAC one.
All right. And I'll rephrase that in just a minute. Do you want to leave parking on or off?
I would leave it on.
Okay. All right. So we're going to make a motion to have...
Can I get a little clarification on the Coleman Park update? Were we changing?
We just want to include it as a standing item in the either in the agenda so we can talk about it or in the director update, whichever is most appropriate.
So, but are we leaving it on the list?
Well...
Or is it just an update in...
It would be in the status report.
So it would be in the status report. Basically, we want to make sure that every month going forward, since it's close to coming fruition, that we have as a standing item on the things, whether it's a business item or just part of the staff report.
So I think it's safe to then remove it from this list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Perfect. We're moving it from the list because we're doing it. So we're going to remove that from the list. The waterfront master plan, similar vine, it will have a report each month going forward now that the committee's going forward. So it won't be a future agenda item. It will be an agenda item. So that's two pieces of it. And the last piece is we're going to strike completely out of the list the CFAC Joint Ad Hoc Committee. So those three items won't be on the list. Two of them will just be part of the agenda. One we're just throwing out. And we'll leave the rest for now. It's a little bit of cleanup work.
Understood.
Okay. That we just have to vote on. There's no motion because we just need to.
No, we need to make a
motion. Oh, we can make a motion. What the heck? All right,
I made it.
Yeah, do the second. I already read it.
I make the motion to remove CFAC Joint Ad Hoc Committee and Waterfront Master Plan from the future agenda items and keep all of the remaining ones.
Wasn't quite what we said.
No, it wasn't? Okay, never mind, you do it.
All right, so these two items will be standing agenda items going forward, the Coleman Park update and waterfront master plan. They either be agenda items or in the harbor, the director update, doesn't matter, but we want updates each month on both of those. The CFAC ad hoc is just strike.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Ayes. All right. And that concludes yes, sir.
In the status report at some point, can we get some data on the dredging and how much dredging we did and what potential future dredging we can anticipate?
I think that would be good. I can provide a dredge update.
Yeah, you don't have the data yet, but eventually sometimes we'd like to hear how much you've dredged and what they anticipate dredging when and again.
Sounds good. I can do that.
I think they told us they took out 350 100-yard loads is what they're anticipating.
And how much? 7 yards?
They dump 1,000 yards at a time, and it's 350 trips.
That's $7 a yard?
I don't know how much the cost is, but yeah. All right. Well, thank you. That concludes the meeting.